There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
That sounds good.
That sounds good.
That's perfect right there.
It feels good.
Yeah. Feels good.
Feels good. Six.
Six.
Reunited and it's
feels so good.
Oh, yeah, feels so good. All right, we're good to go. All right, hey, everyone, and that's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. Back in the studio with us, we have a fella. With who is he?
I got back into town.
Yeah.
I'm a little hungover.
Right.
So let's just say, call him Henry Zebrowski, but don't call him late for dinner, Henry
that's
Zebrowski.
Right. He's early.
That's the character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very real-to-life character today. That's good. Henry.
It feels so good to be back in the studio.
We have a lot of controversy, though, and I know you can't say much. Peanut butter gates, it's really been heating up the Facebook page.
I cannot express the actual details of said peanut butter gate, but let's just say I had a run-in with peanut butter.
You had a run-in with it.
Yes, that's the reason why we didn't have an episode.
There was a run-in with peanut butter.
Okay.
That could not be avoided. You would be surprised the what peanut butter does.
Yeah, what does
and
it
the
do?
Properties of peanut butter are interesting.
Okay,
it's a fatty. It's like mayonnaise, but for children. I consider mayonnaise for adults.
Sure.
Right.
Yes.
Mayonnaise is an adult condiment.
Yes.
You have to be an adult to understand it. Peanut butter is for a child. All right. It's a good source of protein.
That's right. Yeah.
That's another fact I can say about peanut butter.
Yeah.
And I can say it takes 7 pounds to cover me in it.
7 pounds. Well, that's not bad.
So there was a run-in with peanut butter.
Well, you look great because I tell you.
You should also, yeah. And the only other, I will say peanut butter certainly clogs up a shower drain. That's awesome.
Right.
And it's really fun when the look on a maid's face when you walk them and she's walking out of a hotel room and literally because it's like a room full of peanut butter chunks all up in the shower.
Right.
I may have left a Duke in the toilet reeking a weed in their beer bottles and a scotch bottle just like all over
everywhere.
The place.
Yeah.
And the grease stains everywhere.
And not a woman to be found.
No.
Not a woman.
No. It's very hard to say, hey, when you want to come back to my place, that it looks like a senator's orgy as if it was a part of some gigantic cover-up.
That's right.
Oh.
That's right. Of course, we're on part three of
Welcome
the,
back.
Satanism in government. But Henry, of course, you know, we've had a lot of negative words and a lot of negative negativity towards Satanism. And you want to clear the Satanist name.
I just want to say it again. Let's all remember why we're Satanists, because it's fun, because the girls are beautiful,
they are.
And the men are powerful.
Well,
all right?
The women are powerful and beautiful, and the men are us.
The men are us.
Yeah, so
and
we're
we
like...
get to, and this allows us to hang out with powerful, beautiful women.
That's right.
Yes, and all commiserate, and the satin is just great for the legs. Satin feels so nice when it's just swishing back and forth between your legs, around your balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the robes are great. Black goatees are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say, let's remember.
I feel like you're sort of the reason that the vast majority of, mentally stunted people became hippies in the 60s.
Yes.
For the fashion.
For the fashion.
You just sort of like the fashion of Satanism, not the tenets of Satanism.
But that's what true Satanism is. Satanism is about symbols and filling them with energy and power and enjoying yourself and you're fighting for your right to be by yourself,
sure,
which is wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's give everyone a taste to remember of what makes Satanism fun.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Hit it, Anton.
Immediately think of a monkey, huh?
This is Anton LaVey playing the calliope.
Big old smile on his evil face.
God, it's terrifying.
I know, it is still scary.
Yes.
But that's the best part.
Come into the party, won't you? No.
Could we at least maybe turn down the volume of the calliope so we can speak with each other?
They are really loud.
No, there's just some girl just like moving her pec muscles back and forth through her, making her boobies bounce.
That would be fun.
Is there a monkey, a dolphin with a fucking weed shoved in his hole and you can spark the top of it and then French kiss it and suck all the weed smoke out of its head?
Yeah,
that'd
definitely
be amazing.
Definitely. Is there any other sound that this instrument can make?
No.
That's the only one.
Yeah. All it can do is circus drone and phantom music.
Yeah.
That's the only thing a calliope can make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
under just beneath the ukulele. That's an interesting
one. Oh, that's bullshit. I hate the ukulele.
Yeah, it's the worst.
The ukulele has got nowhere near the power of a calliope. At least a calliope can fill a circus with noise.
Yeah, calliope is
that's true.
Ear splitting.
Yeah, that's true.
All I'm in so much pain.
We got to get to part three
guys. So let's jump into this. So just again, turn on the lights to your hotel room, put on an old stinky robe, and start getting out the strings to connect dots on a map somewhere inside your home right now.
Yeah.
Get that glass of bourbon going. Let's dive into this heap of shit.
Yeah. Don't do any of that. Yeah, stay with your wife.
Do you know how close I came to making a diagram on the wall?
No, I know.
Like, really close.
You made a 9-page outline. You know, that was...
I made 4 9-page outlines. Yeah. And the first one was 25 pages.
You... God bless your girlfriend.
That's right. She's a real sweetheart. Putting up with all that.
So we left off last episode with the satanic abuses of Loretta Smith. Possibly the most disturbing interviews that we've heard so far.
They had a bunch of little boy tartar, and it was really, you know, it's really hard when you make a baby smoothie because, you know, I mean, the protein's great.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah, it's on par with peanut butter.
Yeah.
So it's at this point that a man named John DeCamp comes onto the scene. Okay. If there's a hero in this story, he's it.
John DeCamp and Gary Caradore. This John DeCamp is a true, like, this is where I feel like we can inject some hope into this story, where people came forward to fight for these kids, and John DeCamp was one of them.
Yeah, John DeCamp is a saint.
Yes.
I mean, this guy was one of the most decorated Vietnam vets that there were. He initiated Operation Baby Lift, which it evacuated 2,800 orphaned Vietnamese children.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that sounds great. Beautiful.
And not only this guy is
You should use Operation Baby Lift to take babies from women who don't want them anymore.
Sure.
So they can go back to being single and fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this guy, he is not a crackpot. This is not your standard satanic panic bullshit artist. This guy, in fact, he's a lawyer for the National Child Abuse Defense and Resource Center in Nebraska, which fights against false accusations of child abuse, and it's made up of adults who have been falsely accused of child abuse.
So, which is an interesting kind of backwards way to fight for justice, where it's like, you know, it's technically, so it's almost, you know, it shows how honest he is that he fights for adults' rights. And sex and children's sex scandals.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, this guy, I mean, his only interest is justice. And that's what I love about this guy.
We're a law and order guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Very must have been real boring at a party. Really, really boring at a party. This is a problem. It's like a way I've now alienated several groups of people with talking about this subject.
Right.
And you know that this is all this dude talks about. Yeah. Maybe he talks about like the Texas Rangers. Like maybe he's into something like
he's got to have a go to. You have to have a plan B if you start talking about child sexual predator rings and then you're like, their faces want to talk about baseball. Good thing I know who Nolan Ryan was.
He's like, John, great man, wonderful man. Not much with the small talk.
No, really just kind of dives right in there with the children and then this physical sexual abuse. But I'll tell you, John DeCamp, when he dies, so does the last Steven Seagal fan. This man must love Steven Seagal. I feel like the Law and Order Justice guy, Vietnam vet.
Yeah,
that's the recipe, right?
Oh, absolutely. He first became involved in the case when it was found that $40 million were missing from the Nebraska Federal Credit Union.
Because, again, you can't get the government to do fuck all until money is involved.
That's right.
Like, it's like the same, you know, Capone, all these people that were caught on tax evasion. It's all, like, as soon as they're not getting their fucking cut, government's like, rrr, rrr. But, like, but otherwise, they don't care how many little kids are turned into a fucking Jamba Juice special.
Yeah,
and I don't know how special that is. But.
I mean, it's off the menu.
Yeah.
You know, it's like animal style at In-N-Out. You can't always get the baby smoothie.
Yeah. Well, I am
enough with the baby smoothie. I don't want to hear it.
It's
anymore.
It's an interesting detail.
It's just a tough visual. That I don't even. Maybe you get a real big straw. Something like that. Like, I don't know how you do
it. It's just a problem when you have a baby and you name it ceviche. You know, don't name it ceviche.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. Of course, $40 million went missing, and the FBI raided the Federal Credit Union. And of course, their whole aim with this is that they knew that there was a lot of bad shit in that credit union. There was a lot of bad stuff surrounding Larry King.
Mm-hmm. It was because they knew that he was living way beyond his means. He was living this crazy fucking lifestyle.
Yeah.
Money was going missing.
Yeah. A lot of money had gone missing. So the FBI went in there, and their aim was to just erase it. Just to get rid of everything, every bit of evidence that this credit union existed. That's what they wanted
just
to do.
Just firebomb the whole thing.
Firebomb the whole thing. However, John DeCamp got wind of this, and as he started to investigate it more and more, the more he kind of started to see there were some odd things here and there. A lot of stuff didn't add up.
Well, it's because he started going into the Children Welfare Services. Like, the reports that were being filed with them, he started reading it and just seeing again and again, like, Larry King, because he, like, it's you know, the same thing happened, you know. What we find out later is that, you know, he was tracking Sandusky for years and years.
Yeah. This guy, he mentioned in the book that he wrote. This is the,
because this is the book that we base all our research on. He wrote this book, which was called
The Franklin Cover-Up.
Yes.
All of these episodes were based on the Franklin Cover-Up. And he mentions the Sandusky thing. He offhandedly mentions it at one point.
Because that was before he was arrested for it. Sandusky, right?
Yeah. I mean, he wrote that in 1990.
Yeah. And this is how much information this guy has. Just offhanded. Just like second thought, like eighth thought is just like, oh, and Sandusky. Yeah,
he's one to look out for too.
With football and stuff like that.
Yeah. He's got a whole collection of those sweet rings, those candy rings at the back of it. He says everyone comes over and they play the Pope game.
This is why you can't commit suicide, though, when everybody doubts you. DeCamp, his entire life was probably considered a schmuck by so many people.
Every
and then
human
all of them start to fall. And he's just like, yeah. That awkward dinner conversation, I was right. Yeah. Oh, I don't care. I don't care that I ruined the wedding. I was still right. So that's fine with me.
And then we see again what's happened with these accusations with Bryan Singer and this weird, gigantic Hollywood pedophile cabal that may or may not exist.
I've been hearing about this pedophile cabal for years.
Because in page 7, it's really interesting just when you're in the celebrity gossip angle, like you're actually picking up, which may actually be the fringes of some gigantic government secret-keeping cabal. Mm-hmm. And then also Kiefer Sutherland drinks too much.
Yep, that's true. But now you... What's this? Are you going to go see the new X-Men movie with this Bryan Singer guy as the director?
I wasn't going to do it anyway. I hate comic book movies. Comic book movies suck.
Very good.
Captain America was wonderful. Yeah. So, now that John DeCamp is starting to gather more information, he, despite having opposition from the local law enforcement, the FBI, and the Omaha World Herald, he forms the Franklin Committee out of the Nebraska State Legislature.
Now, this was an official government, what's the term? What's the term?
Organization?
A committee. Think tank, right? But I mean, we've seen a lot of other official committees, like the Warren Committee, and what do? They put out a fucking binders of hogwash.
Hogwash?
Hogwash.
It's hogwash. Get him out of here, would you?
So this is when they hire a chief investigator. The chief investigator that they hire is a man named Gary Caradori.
Love this guy.
I love Gary Caradori so much. But before we really get into Caradori, we got to talk about the witness that Caradori found that ended up being one of the only two witnesses that were to testify in the grand jury trial to come, a girl named Alicia Owen.
Now, they believe that because she was a hard person to bring in, too. She, like, fought it because her...
Terrified.
Because her and Paul Benacki were in contact for a long time, and Paul Benacki kept saying, like, you gotta come forward, and she's like, no, and then finally she ranks her for the Franklin Committee.
I mean, her testimony, like, she details abuse that goes back as far as 1983.
I mean, and going back to the child pedophile ring, they have an opportunity to not have an acting career, which you could argue is a luxurious thing to have in the first place.
An acting career silliest career of all time.
That's right. So it's not really, okay, I'm sorry. I would say I'm not going to suck your penis, and I will say I'm fine with not having an acting career.
Be in Boardwalk Empire.
It will be okay for me. But this woman is going against a huge, very dangerous organization, a mafia-style bunch of folks who are threatening her life on a regular basis.
And then meanwhile, a lot of time, these people's their reputation is so thoroughly smeared by the end of their lives are trashed. Yeah. So it's like, they're viewed as crazy. They're discredited for the rest of their life. No one believes a word out of the mouth for the rest of their life.
Yeah. And this girl, she wasn't homeless. She wasn't a drug addict. She came from a nice family. She was never abused. She was just kind of a wild child. At the age of 14, she hooked up with a bad crowd.
But this is where the victim blaming comes in too, and this is exactly who they preyed upon a lot of these times, is these kids that were kind of lost looking for somebody, and they were partiers. And so now, like, that's the needle that the government can use every time, and basically being like, well, wasn't she looking for it?
Yeah.
And it's like, she's 14. She doesn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of dumb shit when I was 14. I used to slick my hair back. You know what I mean? I used to slick my hair all the way back and call myself the flying grape. I had to have a thing. You have to have a thing.
You do have to have a thing.
So she started going to Larry King's parties at 14. And of course, her testimony is just as awful as every other bit of testimony that we've had here. But she does implicate a very important person in her testimony. She implicates Omaha police chief Robert Wadman.
Officer Wadman.
By the way, Robert Wadman, very close friend of Nick O'Hara, the regional head of the FBI. She claims, Alicia Owen claims, that Robert Wadman raped and impregnated her and shoved the barrel of his gun up her vagina. Now, if you'll remember from our last
episode. And that's not normal protocol.
That's bad.
Yeah.
No.
For a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And so, if you'll remember from the last episode, Robert Wadman was the guy that walked down to the offices of the Omaha Police Department and told investigators to immediately stop investigating Larry King.
Of course, because he was on the list.
Yeah.
He was right on the list. And now, those are the other thing. I got into a very detailed conversation in which I alienated a group of people last night. I was saying this, too. I think a lot of times, especially in these like after parties, we were saying the same thing about, like, I think there's not everybody fucked the kids, but people were asked to stick around.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people like Nick O'Hara and stuff like that, where it's probably like a dude that was just forced to sit there and watch it and just be like, and what did you see? Nothing. Like, oh, no, mom. Did you see me do it?
Yeah.
And then like, no, because they have to, they create the gigantic secret cabal.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a lot of courage with these fellas.
No.
So based on the initial interviews with Owen, Gary Caradore, the chief investigator, he recommended...
What I love about this, he's a private eye too, right?
Yeah, this is
a guy, I love this guy because he's a fucking civilian. It's like, I literally want to play this guy in a movie one day. I'm just like, the guy who's, he left it all on the line. He signed up for this project. He has, like, I was reading a thing about him saying the same thing where he was like, he did it, it's the classic, like he did it for the money.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, my God, this thing goes back forever. Yeah. And then like got, like jumped into it head first.
Well, I think in about 10 years, you could just make a reality show of it. You know, that's going to be your life. Henry Zebrowski, private eye. I could see it.
So Gary Caradore, based on this initial interview, he subpoenaed 62 people. 62 people that Alicia Owen was able to name that she said were a part of this ring or were victims of the ring.
Yeah.
One of the two. So Gary Caradore, he starts investigating these people. He starts investigating, what was his name? Rusty?
Yeah, Rusty
Nelson.
Yeah, he starts investigating Rusty Nelson, who you'll remember from our last episode was Larry King's private photographer. He tracked him all the way to Chicago. He flew his private plane there, and he took his 8-year-old son along with him. Who knows why? They decided to go to a Cubs game. He figured, you know, if I'm going to go look for child pornography, might as well bring my son along.
I don't understand why. But I mean, he's a private detective. He's got his own motives.
I mean, yeah, you gotta get on a plane and go,
I mean, and before this, he had gone through a lot of harassment. His house was broken into in 1989. A telephone repairman told him that his phones were tapped.
Oh, no, this guy, he was run through the ringer over and over again. Yeah. And so this was leading up to, this was because they could not get an official investigation, right? Because, like, up until this point, like, the Franklin Committee, that was technically the most official it got, but no criminal charges were ever really put upon Larry King or anything, like, right?
No, nothing was filed. We'll get to the grand jury investigation.
This is all leading up to the grand jury.
Of course.
So he's in a plane with his son. They're having a good time talking about, oh, look how high we are up in the sky, son.
Brum, 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 brum.
And she's like, Daddy, is it true that sometimes a plane can just blow up out of the sky?
No, that's never happened. Not in the history of planes. And plane. Another father lies to his son.
Yep, his plane blew up in midair on its way back from Chicago.
And this is also when he, because he had just made a phone call too, saying like, we got him.
Yeah.
They can't get away from this one. He had some pile of documents.
Yeah, he called Nebraska State Senator Lauren Schmidt, and he said she was the head of the Franklin Committee. John DeCamp was just a part of it. She was the head of the Franklin Committee, and he said, we've got them. There's no way they can get out of it now.
So he did make contact with Mr. Rusty Nelson.
Yeah.
Which, again, did we mention that sounds like a terrible sexual position?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, Rusty Nelson doesn't even need to be
Never give a
mentioned.
Woman a Rusty Nelson.
Never name your son Rusty.
No,
because all he's
going to
be is a private photographer. And if you're a private photographer, God knows.
I feel like it involves like a period, but then it's all just like crusted over. And then you're just like, oh, give me that Rusty Nelson.
Give me that Rusty Nelson. I just imagine it's just like rubbing a bunch of nails in between your hands and fingering somebody.
Yeah. Real construction worker sex. Either
so
way.
So Caradori, he even speaks like a private eye. Before he got on the plane, like he told his wife, if even half of what I've heard is true, this is the biggest thing that ever hit Nebraska.
It's between that and
corn. Gary, you never pick out the garbage, Gary. You never take out the milk.
It would be definitely the biggest thing that's ever hit Nebraska, though.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about that.
So the explosion, a farmer saw the plane explode in midair.
Okay. But farmers, they're already afraid of planes.
Oh, they're terrified.
Every time they see a plane, they're just like, that bug needs to be put in a cage. Because they don't understand.
Space gods.
Yeah.
And so the plane goes down. And initial news reports, you know, they quote this farmer. They say that, you know, yes, a farmer saw a flash in the sky. He heard an explosion. He saw a plane go down.
Yeah. TWA-800. Going to throw that in there as well.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a reliable farmer? Has anybody ever taken the farmer's word?
No, because how many times a farmer being like, oh, you're going up to old McKeever's cabin, huh? Well, I wouldn't be going on up there.
Because McKeever's black and he just hates blacks. I know, it's a racial thing.
They're always warning people to not go to the haunted cabin.
They live terrified lives. That's what these isolated farmers do.
What are you talking about? They're with corn. There's nothing scary about growing corn. The government's paying them not to do anything.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't know until you've been out there alone, Henry.
Scary stuff.
Once you've been out there alone, then you come talk to me. You tell me how it's unscary it is.
So the plane pops in midair. This pops farmer's like, well, I never saw that before.
And so he reports it to the police. He reports it to local newscasters. But on subsequent reports, all the newscasters say that the plane exploded when it hit the ground.
Sure.
What's the difference there? If it explodes in midair, if it hits the ground.
If it explodes in midair,
something exploded it. Yeah. And there was either some kind of problems with the engine, or there was a surface-to-air missile that took it down,
or there was just a bomb planted on board, or anything like that. If it just explodes on the ground, then that just goes towards mechanical failure.
Yeah. Okay.
Like something fucked up. But when deputy sheriffs first arrived on the scene, they reported that there was child pornography pictures.
There's a story of that they said they had slithered all over the thing, like all these naked kid pictures everywhere. And then, some FBI guy literally showed up and was like, I'll be taking these, and put them all in a garbage can and left.
Yeah, three flatbed trucks, they say.
Jesus.
Three flatbed trucks.
Well, they took all of the wreckage as well.
Right. Oh, yeah, because again, it was like, why is the federal government coming here to pick up an airplane? Kind of like what happened with TW-800. Why did the government show up? They don't show up to pick up fucking wreckage of a private plane crash. Yeah. Like,
I'll tell you, MIB, Men in Black, more like Men in Boys. Am I right? Heller.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, it is. But Men in Boys does sound like a forum somewhere on the tour.
Oh, I'm sure that it is. I'm sure that it is.
Yeah, that's an offshoot of NAMBLA right there.
It's a much better story, though, than finding aliens, that may or may not be running pawn shops. Finding people who have sex with kids. Like, that's what these people should be doing.
Yeah, it would be hard to get the PG-13 rating on that film.
Yeah, that's true. Will Smith might not.
Summer blocks,
So adding insult to injury here, they never notified Caradori's wife of his death.
Yeah.
She only heard about it. Friends heard the news on the radio and they called her. The day after Caradori was killed, the FBI descended on his office, subpoenaed all of his records, took everything that they had. And this is when John DeCamp finally writes the infamous DeCamp memo.
What's the official cause of death?
Official cause of death:
plane blow up.
Plane.
But was it murder or was it just mechanical failure?
Mechanical failure. That's what they said. They just ruled it as an accident.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the DeCamp memo was what blew the lid off of the entire investigation. This was when he came out. John DeCamp came out and said this fucked up stuff is happening. There's these child pedophile rings. Larry King is involved in it. Robert Wadman's involved.
Which
in
I'm
it.
Sure takes so much strength to do because you're just now you're open for any attack.
And you know they've already killed somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And again, Gary Caradore is the perfect example of why it's very hard to be a hero in this country. I mean, or anywhere in the world. Why it's very difficult to be somebody who sticks his neck out for somebody because most of the time you get murdered.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get murdered and no one goes down for it.
Nobody goes down for it.
No.
True Detective. Again, it's the same. True Detective. It's real. It's real.
Yeah, it's real. It's absolutely real. Yeah. So this, of course, the DeCamp memo goes out, and immediately every one of the victims, every one of the people who are making these accusations, and John DeCamp himself, they're immediately attacked by the Omaha World Herald.
Which is just like, it's this weird thing of, look at another industry that is tied into this cover-up. Like, entertainment, sports with Sandusky, the fucking media. It's nuts.
All the same thing. Yeah. The media has been a mouthpiece for, you know, on a macro scale, it's a mouthpiece. CNN and Fox are all mouthpieces for the federal government, and this is just a local version
also have a fucking, the federal government still has its hand fucking elbows deep up its ass.
Yeah. I was just talking to a friend about this. Yeah, remember Syria when we were going to go in there, and the war's gotten worse, but, you know, they don't talk about it anymore because they don't want to, you know, trumpet up the beats of war any longer. They don't want to convince us that we want to do it, so they just stop talking about it.
They just stop talking about it. All they so it feels like it all goes away.
Yeah, but it's gotten worse, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The publisher of the Omaha World Herald, Harold Anderson, was a big supporter.
Hello, my name is Harold Anderson. That is my real name, Harold Jean-Peter Anderson.
Jean-Peter. Interesting.
He was a big supporter of Larry King. He raised money for the Franklin Credit Union. One of their columnists, Peter Citron, he had been arrested for pedophilia many times.
Oh, good.
It just seems like that's the thing.
You get arrested one time for pedophilia.
Because it was like, we saw the same thing with John Wayne Gacy. He got arrested one time. Oh, he was just diddling.
Boys being boys.
Oh, they're just having a good time. Oh, it's a stag party.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's no rules at a stag party.
There used to be just no rule places. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but and, what I mean at this point, King has been busted now, right? With the credit union scandal, all these financial
problems. He's been he got
so how do they
the,
even have the audacity to still throw support behind him just on those grounds alone?
Because he was a stand up man who just had big appetites.
Yeah. So yeah, King was he presided over the Franklin Credit Union for 18 years. 18 years Larry King had control over this. And the newspaper the entire time, they knew Larry King. They knew him personally. They never once reported on anything that he had, you know, just this fucking extravagant lifestyle. You know how much money he made on the books officially?
It was $25,000?
$17,000.
That's insane.
That's poverty line.
Yeah, $17,000. I mean, which I guess in like 1980s money is, probably about $25,000.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's more than what we make, but...
Everyone
don't
makes more than
reality.
Yeah, don't bring that up.
Reality.
Jesus, Marcus, what's wrong with you? Good, I just stopped thinking about it.
So if you want to go even further into this shit, the Omaha World Herald, they are the co-owner of Election Software and Systems.
Okay.
And in 2003, Electronic Software and Systems claimed that in the past decade alone, it had installed more than 260,000 voting systems, more than 15,000 electronic poll books, and provided services to more than 50,000 elections.
And then
that new
study that just came out that showed that America is way more of an oligarchy than a democracy. And you just like watch these controls being put into place by the same people who cover up the same. It's the same thing. We're trapped in it.
Yeah,
we're trapped in it. They run our lives.
Well,
we can't get out of it.
We've had two families in the White House for pretty much the past 25 years. Going back to 80, we had Bush 3 years in a row, and Clinton, and now, you know, of course, Bush again. And then we had Hillary in there, and now, of course, Hillary's, you know, the front runner again. I mean, it's the same people. The idea that we have choice
is a total
myth.
And I liked Barack Obama, but you know that he went to one of these fucking parties.
Yeah. Oh,
And the same thing, the Bilderberg group and all that
stuff. I mean,
he
might not have gone into room C.
No.
You know, but he was six inches of plaster away.
Yeah, he was in room B, and they heard the noises, and they're all like, oh, don't worry about it. They're playing the charity game of Twister in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And despite the Omaha World Herald coming against him, despite the Omaha Police Department, the Nebraska State Police, the FBI, the local and state judiciary, all of these people are telling him, this, don't do this, don't do this, you cannot do this. He still finally manages, along with the State Foster Care Review Board, who had been investigating this for 2 years before.
Because they were fighting it, because they said the same thing. They'd bring the evidence to the FBI, and they were like, no, they're crazy. I still love that thing of just being like, oh, no, these kids are raped. You can't believe
it. Yeah, I mean, that's the vicious cycle of it. You can't believe anything they say. But, I mean, growing up in the foster care system, when I was 12, we started doing it in my family, taking in foster brothers and sisters. They are so stupid. They're all so flawed. Anyone who was in the foster care system, the kids, but the people who run it are literally on par with someone who works at a driver's license.
It feels like it's like a DMV.
Yeah, it's a DMV.
Like, it's the same thing. How many times I've dealt with our city government, I went into the city hall and it just feels like, you know, there's no care. They don't care. I understand that that industry, the foster care industry,
is incredibly difficult.
But all you get is horror stories. Yeah. I understand that there's no pleasant day at work when you're working for foster care. Very little.
Very, very few.
And so I understand how that can deaden a person. But it just comes down to a point where it's just like, these kids aren't fucking units to be moved. These are humans. Yeah. Like, and all you're doing is perpetuating a cycle of pain and misery that just makes more miserable adults, that makes more pedophiles, that makes more killers, that makes more jaded people,
and
that make a gigantic fucking gray fucking gear machine that is our country.
And just as they do with prisoners, they give them a number, just as we did with the Jews and anyone who's like, you know, put into slavery.
Your grandfather
dehumanized. No, my grandfather never did that. He wasn't on number duty. It just dehumanizes them, and unfortunately these kids who are abused get that exact same treatment even though they've done nothing wrong.
They've done nothing wrong.
So the grand jury starts. The grand jury begins, and they want they're trying to get depositions from 83 people. 83 witnesses are supposed to give depositions. Witnesses and people who are,
What exactly is the grand jury system? So what is it? It's like they file a petition to get a court hearing, and that's what it is.
A grand jury. Well, Ben, you've served on grand jury.
Grand juries there tends to be 22, 23 people. 12 of them have to agree to send the case to trial. So it's just the prosecution that comes in and makes the government's case or the state's case against the person who's on the defense. That's why it's the people versus.
Okay.
The people of Nebraska versus.
So it was like the people versus the Franklin Committee in this case, Johnny Camp.
The people versus the Franklin Credit Union.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Larry King, and like also Larry King and other.
Okay, I just needed that explained to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the whole thing is innately flawed because odds are 12 out of any 22 people are going to be able to side. The whole thing is completely. I mean, it's pretty much
rigged from the beginning.
It's just a small speed bump to get people into trial.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, this proved to be much larger than a speed bump. This was an absolute nightmare because out of those 84 people, after they got through four depositions, the next 79 witnesses said, there's no fucking way I'm doing this.
No, of course not, because they watched what happened to the first four witnesses, which is they were publicly embarrassed.
Well, two of the first four, they were killed.
Yep.
That's the most embarrassing thing that can happen in public.
It's crazy embarrassing.
Yeah.
And you're asking yourself, of course, and the only people that were really left at the end of it to really give their witness testimony were Alicia Owen and Paul Benacki. Alicia Owen, we mentioned earlier, Paul Benacki, we spent the lion's share of the last episode talking about his testimony.
So the pressure on these two are just, this is insane.
It's nuts. Yeah.
It's insane. And you ask yourself, where is Larry King in all of this? Of course, Larry King was indicted because of the embezzlement of the federal credit, of the Franklin Credit Union. $40 million had gone missing. Of course, where is Larry King and all this, they whisked him away to Minnesota to a mental health facility.
Now, why did
for
they
psychiatric evaluation?
No, this was just because this was to lead up to whether or not he was crazy which is ludicrous, before he took the stand of the grand jury.
He never took the stand of the grand jury.
No, of course, because they kept him in the sanitarium and said it's like, oh, well, he kind of went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Well, here's what the grand jury actually said, because they never even called Larry King as a witness. They never even tried. Here's what they said. Because King is presently in an institution out of state pursuant to an order from the federal court, and because we believed he would rely on his right against self-incrimination, we decided it would not be fruitful to attempt to require King to appear before us.
Which is insane. Attempt it. Just go out there. Yeah, just give it a shot.
You try know? It. See if there's. See if somebody can fucking wiggle their way around to get him to answer some sort of question.
How is this man the most powerful manager of a credit union I've ever heard of?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
I got to meet him. I have to know, is he really that charming?
No, it's it's what we said. It's his fucking, he's got all the pictures. He's got fucking Rusty Nelson clicking away with his fucking iPhone. You got fucking, and he's got a bunch of people semen in a vial. You
know, no, and that's true. And like we were talking about, hell, we could just mention Skull and Crossbones, what they do inside of these ceremonies.
You find all the most embarrassing sexual secrets of somebody's life, and then you hold on to him forever.
That knowledge is power. And when it comes to politics, it's all about
that everything.
Power.
It's about leverage.
Yeah.
So on July 23rd, 1990, after hearing hours and hours of testimony from Paul Benacki and Alicia Owen, the county grand jury not only threw out all of the allegations concerning sexual child abuse, they admitted that abuse had happened, but said that the Franklin Credit Union had nothing to do with it. Not only did they throw out all of the allegations, but they charged both Alicia Owen and Paul Benacki with perjury.
And jail time.
Which we had Jim Polk on Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, of course the lawyer who's often on New York City Crime Report. Perjury is extremely undercharged. It's never charged.
It's never charged. Yeah. No, they did it because they believed that it was a jealous former employee of Boys Town, and that Alicia Owen and Paul Benacki had gotten together and devised this whole story, and it's just like...
Somebody liked Penn State's football team and knew Sandusky was involved, and they wanted to fucking bet on the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. The grand jury said that it was a carefully crafted hoax scripted by a person or persons with considerable knowledge of Omaha.
Yeah, it's a really fun D&D game, this whole thing. It's great. It's a great story to tell. I'd love to go to court for fucking months and make this whole story. Yeah, that sounds great. That's exactly what I want to do on my fucking Saturday.
Go through some metal detectors.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, what would be... let's say it is a hoax. What is the possible benefit? What would be the possible benefit for these people from testifying?
Never underestimate the power of getting attention. That's the one thing. It's like,
but
no
one wants to get attention for being a victim of a huge pedophile ring.
Some people do. Some people want attention for anything. They say that's why a lot of false rape accusations happen. It's either wanting attention or trying to get revenge.
Around Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah. And he's got dollars hanging out of his fucking pockets. And he'll just pay you at the bar.
No, nice.
Who knows, according to judges, like in stuff like this, they believe them to be lying, but it just seems so fucking nuts that they
would
be
intense.
Lying.
Yeah. So they got charged with perjury.
Charged with perjury, and King was charged in this grand jury in this grand jury trial. He was charged with embezzlement. A few of the other officers in the credit union were charged with embezzlement. Let me give you King's first.
Oh, okay.
King's sentence, he was given 9 years in prison.
Okay.
That's hard.
Alicia Owen, who was charged with 8 counts of perjury, was sentenced to 21 years.
Jesus 21 Christ. Years.
21 years.
That's just ridiculous. And then she came out. What did she ever make statements as to, like, did she ever admit, did she say that she was lying?
No. Never once. She did 4.5 years in prison.
So how do they even prove that she was lying?
Because the evidence is supporting
her claims.
The eyewitnesses disappeared. They had nothing to back it up. They only have like their word against powerful people's words. Mm-hmm. You don't have the main perpetrator on the stand. What are you going to do? It just comes down to it's just this girl who, as far as you're concerned, is just a former drug addict who's lying to get some kind of settlement so that she can get back on the horse.
It reminds me of what we talked about on Top Hat also when it comes to votes. Or does your vote matter? Or does your opinion matter? If you're lower rung on the social scale, it just doesn't matter nearly as much.
Yeah. She was sentenced to serve 9 to 27 years in prison for telling a grand jury she was sexually abused. This is fucking heartbreaking. This is an excerpt from the Franklin cover-up. This is DeCamp sitting in the judge's chambers right before Alicia's sentencing. It says, I do not understand it, Your Honor, I kept repeating. As God is my witness, I do not think that there is a judge or other person involved in this case who does not know that horrible injustice has been done. Everybody knows that Alicia Owen is telling the truth and that she is being punished for it. And, Your Honor, a person has to be blind or totally dishonest not to know that some of this state's and nation's top businessmen and public officials have engaged in the worst crimes possible, which are now being covered up. And these kids, instead of being honored and protected for exposing these things, are being sent to prison. Why? And he said, Judge Imbati looked at me. Slowly, his voice shaking, he began to talk. I'm just a man. I'm not a god. I wish I were. I have no choice in what I have done. I'm just a man, not a god. I am doing what I must do with the evidence before me.
Well, that's always difficult when you go in front of Judge Pontius.
Yeah.
I mean, that is such a Pontius Pilate washing my hands of its situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And he said that he appeared even more shaken than DeCamp, the judge. Like someone had...
Oh, so, I'm sorry, Judge.
Oh, he must have felt really bad. Absolutely. Yeah. He's not wearing any pants under that robe.
No, hasn't right? in years.
You're all nude. Every judge you see has got his nipples fucking hard on that stiff judge robe that they're wearing.
Yeah, of course.
And Alicia Owen spent almost all of her prison sentence in solitary confinement.
Yep, which is ludicrous.
Yeah.
Ludicrous.
Yeah.
On a perjury charge.
Yep.
That is absolutely insane.
But then we find where this whole story began is this idea that, but the evidence was enough in the civil case that Paul Bernanke was awarded $1 million as a settlement, right?
Yeah. Paul, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
So Paul Bernanke, who also testified with Alicia Owen, he received 5 years for perjury. And okay. By the way, his claim held a hell of a lot more water because he had reported all of this shit to the police.
When it was happening.
2 years.
Yeah.
Two entire years before the Franklin case started.
What's the race of Owen?
They're both white.
They're both white, okay.
Yeah. They're both white. And so after Alicia Owen's trial in 1990, DeCamp found this other kid named Troy Boner.
Unfortunate.
Oh, yeah, we can't make, but he's a victim, yes. so we can't make.
Maybe we just call him Bonner. How about that?
Bonner. I think he pronounces it Bonner.
Yeah, I don't think
anybody goes by Boner.
And that would be the worst name if you were like sexually assaulted. That would be really rough.
He was asking for it.
Yeah. He wanted my Boner. I can't stop this guy.
Yeah.
So he had more information. Like he was willing to testify under oath.
He was fucked up.
Yeah, and he said that as he came into the courthouse, he was immediately ushered into a private room by county judicial authorities. Mm. Troy was in a room with a special attorney and other officials from the prosecutor's office. He came out of the room and he leaned over and he whispered to DeCamp. He said, "Oh God, forgive me. They guaranteed if I talk here today, they will put me away for 20 years. Told me I would be charged with perjury for my original testimony if I opened my mouth today in court. Look at what they did to Alicia. Look at what they did to my brother." And by the way, his brother was found dead playing "quote unquote" Russian roulette.
Yeah,
so we're learning here. Never go into a private room.
Never go into a private room. And especially in a courthouse.
Oh yeah, just never, stay in public rooms.
Not even the bathroom.
Don't even go
into a bathroom at a courthouse.
Go in a plant.
Yeah.
Go in the plant in the corner
of the outside.
Courtroom. Yeah.
Wear a diaper.
Sure.
Because he told a crazy testimony. In the Conspiracy of Silence documentary, his testimony is very vivid and very intense, kind of the same thing. He talked about the cattle prod treatment. He talked about they play a game where they would drop a cigarette between him and another kid's arm and to see which one would pull off of each other. And
but we did that in high school.
Yeah, I know you did, but you grew up in Texas.
Yeah, and you guys were, there wasn't an adult playing the game.
Yeah, we watched Terry Gilliam movies.
Different.
That's what we did.
I did too.
Yeah. But no, he just said the same thing. And he would talk about how he would go at Larry King and just be like, "You're a sick fuck. Why do you do this, you sick fuck?" And he's just like, "Oh, you like this? You like this?" And then they'd beat him within an inch of his life and then drop him off in front of his house. But again, they were saying there were several times he was supposed to show up to all these witnesses things and he just would blow it off because he had a very bad drug problem.
Yeah.
That's sort of, going back to the Hollywood thing again, the Corey Feldman interview saying when he was 14, he was surrounded by these people, forcing oral sex, or demanding oral sex. And Corey Haim, of course, they both got huge into drugs. And yeah. There was that very interesting interview, The Two Corys, was that reality show. But they did have an interesting conversation where they both said, you didn't defend me when we were getting molested at 14. You weren't there for me. You heard what was going on. And it was really telling if you get a chance to watch that clip. So
it's just that you get into any exclusive group all the way since the beginning of fucking time. They've been fucking kids.
But drugs are the best escape from these mental. Well, yeah, I can't imagine having been stuck in a brain knowing with this history.
What
know?
Was it? The BTK. The what was the name of that documentary? With the
Survived BTK.
I Survived BTK. Yeah. His whole life was fucking shattered.
And they're going to prison. What was it? The what's his last name?
Otero.
Yeah.
So John DeCamp. Here's why I love John DeCamp is that after all of these setbacks, after all of this, the fucker never gave up.
Never gave up. He's still talking about it.
Still talking about it to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime, any sort of, I'm surprised people haven't started asking him about this whole Hollywood pedophile ring because, you know, when Sandusky came out, people started talking to him about it. Yeah, I mean, and I found like a great article where, you know, he was just pretty much at this point in his career, he's just saying like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, you didn't read. Yeah. This read is just the way it is.
Just look at it. Just look at it. It's like all day long. It's just like him. Just like all he does is scream like, look at the evidence. This is all day.
Yep.
Yeah. And DeCamp in 1999, he stood by Paul Benacki this entire time. And admittedly, Benacki, he was a fucked up guy.
They're all fucked up.
He got arrested. I mean, in full disclosure, Benacki got arrested for sexually abusing a 5-year-old. Yep. You know, like, I mean, that's just in full disclosure. And he spent 5 years in prison for perjury as well.
Yeah.
But, you know. So these people, they're fucked up people.
That was the thing, is that all this does is it spread filth.
Yeah.
All this stuff does is spread that evil to everybody.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not an excuse, but that tends to be the case with a lot of pedophiles, sexual abuse in their history as well.
No,
same thing with, you know, drunkenness and spousal abuse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But DeCamp stood by him through that.
If you're lucky, then you sort of have like a Barry Sanders situation where your son also plays football and he's really good.
See, that's a
like
cool
you could
one.
Do that too.
Oh yeah. If you're Kirk Douglas, you got Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
And you're happy about it.
Yeah. Kiefer I mean, Sutherland. His son then Donald.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what's sad.
That was sad. But you actually met Donald Sutherland, but we'll talk about that at the end.
So in 1999, Paul Benacki and John DeCamp, they bring a civil trial against Larry King for $1 million. Paul Benacki goes on the stand, and he gives a testimony that is so damning, so vivid, so real, and so believable that despite the fact that he'd been charged with perjury talking about the exact same thing 9 years earlier, a judge awarded him $1 million in a civil case.
So it held water somewhere. It's kind of like did the same thing with O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
And that's your judge, Dr. Evil. Hello, that's an Austin Powers reference. Heller. I'm telling you, this Heller thing is really
you've been saying this Heller thing often.
Yeah, I love it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's Heller. Your thing now.
Judge Dr. Evil Heller.
Heller. That is so, a bad joke.
Kind of fun to say, though.
Yeah. Real good. You know, not all of them got off. You know, not all of them, you know, got kind of the happy ending that Benacki did. Troy Bonner. In 2003,
when the book came out,
the book came out in 96.
Yeah, but when it was a new edition
came out in 2003 with a lot of updates to it. So he walked into a hospital in New Mexico where all bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the perfect setting for something to happen.
Oh, of course,
Mexico.
Yeah.
He came in, screaming, "They're after me!" because of this book, and he was holding the Franklin cover,
waving it around.
They sedated him, they calmed him down. When the nurses went in to check on him in the next morning, he was just sitting in a chair with blood pouring out of his mouth.
Yeah, and he's
not
dead.
Good.
He's just dead.
Yeah, just absolutely
boom, boom,
dead.
Boom, got suicided.
Yeah, and as far as Larry King goes, I know all of you asking out there.
We've been looking for him.
We've been looking for him, and today, I found him.
You found him, okay.
Sterling, Virginia.
It looks like, yes, apparently you found a Yelp review of his sales skills at a BMW dealership.
He has been working
Of course he's a car salesman. Of course.
As far back as 2000, at least up until 2011, he worked at a BMW car dealership in Sterling, Virginia. He had worked there 5-6 years. Long time.
I want to see the people there. He's like, well, now this BMW, now you could rape about 2-3 kids.
You
give me
2-3 kids. Did I even say that out loud?
No.
I mean, fit them in there.
Yeah, do you have children? That's what I was just saying.
Do you have children? You should bring them on by.
Yeah. But
bring them on.
We'll put them in the car together. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Not the rape thing. That was an accident.
So this is a man who brought in his Mini Cooper for maintenance. Of course, he was looking around maybe buying a BMW. He said, on one occasion, I had the unfortunate opportunity to have Mr. Larry King assist me. He was belittling and walked away from me mid-sentence. He is flippant and cavalier in his dealings with customers.
Oh, my.
Yes. One-star review.
Oh, see, one star. One star. That is scathing.
By the way, this dealership overall is just 2 stars. It's a 2-star dealership.
A 2-star BMW dealership.
They hired Larry King.
Yeah, not a lot of background checks going on there.
This is what happens when it, like, I'm sorry, man. It's like you're an older man. You're not going to get this special Larry King treatment.
Yep.
You know, you're not going to get the red carpet treatment that you'd get if you were just a 7-year-old looking to buy a BMW. The best part about that is that he's got his own money.
Yeah.
And that's so important in dating. You can't always be pulling all the weight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a good job for a pedophile to have, though. No one 18 and under going to buy a new car. Yeah. So that's
especially not a BMW.
No, yeah, that's,
you know,
yeah,
like
they're
maybe
the Ford
a Fiat
dealership. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And there's not a whole lot of families coming into BMW dealership.
So yep. This is the end of our saga.
And by the way, Sterling, Virginia, I mean, that's right there next to Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
So
he's still
there right along with all of his buddies. He's having a great time.
Selling cars.
Yeah, still within.
So no one was punished.
No.
Nothing was fixed.
Nope.
All of the victims are trashed.
Yep.
Gary is dead.
Yep.
John DeCamp is a screaming lunatic somewhere in a Hotel 6.
Yeah.
Somewhere. So, great.
Yeah, I guess that's it then. Yeah. Nothing worked out well.
I really do want to thank everyone for like going on this journey with us.
We've all learned a lot. When I proposed the idea of doing Satanism in the government, did not realize the scope, but it's interesting what you discover. We've done this all the time with different types of research. The fucking rabbit hole goes 9 miles deep. It shows you that there's a lot more to reality than you think it is. There's a lot more to what goes on television. There's a lot more than what's just in the fucking newspapers, y'all. You have to research it. But I'm also glad it's over.
Yes, it's all done.
This has taken a month of my life away from.
And it's all done. And we'll move
on. We're going to get back some awesome. We have some great shows coming up.
Oh man.
We've got a great big hitter coming up that's going to knock your fucking, slippers off. It's going to be great. We got some ghosts coming. We got some aliens coming. We got a bunch of shit. I'm very excited. I want to say goodbye to V. Kelly from Atlanta. I miss you. Casper Kelly. People who listen to the show in Atlanta, I miss Atlanta.
And you had a wonder. And it's so nice to have you back.
It's so good to be back.
And you had a nice flight back.
I sat next to Donald Sutherland.
Mr. Donald. And how was that?
He is sick.
Yeah, he's sick.
He's not doing well.
What did he say about his son, Kiefer?
He was just like, my son, he brings home terrible women. And so we talked about 45 minutes. We talked about God. We talked about, he hit it on the flight attendant with me. Yeah. You know, that was fun.
That's great. And we want to say thank you as well to, what is it, Frank Mendoza.
Thank you so much for the candy, dude.
Candy, the t-shirt, some of the greatest stuff around. And it's very, very nice.
We got some of the most beautiful fans in the world. I'm sorry we outraged you for missing a week, but we will do more.
And we're going to come out with apparel very, very soon. So, we can all dress terribly together.
Yes. It'll be great. Yes, and we'll have lots of extra, extra larges.
Oh, that'll be the smallest size you can get.
Oh, what am I going to do?
I'm sorry, Marcus.
You're going to have to wrap it around you like it's a diaper.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
So follow...
Ben Kissel on Twitter. I need to get 1,000. I need to get over 1,000.
It'll happen for you.
It'll happen. It's a good feeling, by the way.
I know. I want the feeling. I want the feeling.
So much power.
Good Lord.
At Henry Loves You.
At Marcus Parks.
All right. Well, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gene.
Hail me.
And hail yourselves, everyone.
Me gusta leche. And don't use peanut butter all over yourself.
That's a good. Yeah, absolutely.